Good morning, and welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. We take a look around college baseball. We take another stop, Nashville, Tennessee. Today, we are discussing Lipscomb baseball with the head coach, Jeff Forehand. Good morning, coach. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, anytime. Now, you are a native Nashvillian. Explain to the people who may not have visited your city. How are Nashvillians different than folks from Knoxville and folks from Memphis?
Wow, that's a tough question. I think everybody from Knoxville is all about orange. So that's a given. So I got one of my assistant coaches. He was a he came from the University of Tennessee, so he's still an avid football fan. And I don't know how I can differentiate. I think Nashvillians and Memphinians, or however you want to call that, are similar creatures. I think we are big cities. And Memphis used to be the biggest city in Tennessee, and now Nashville is just slowly creeping. And I guess we're bigger than that now, but heck, I wouldn't be able to tell. But Nashville, it almost, I've been here my whole life, and it just really seems like Nashville is now, running into a closer to an Atlanta or a Chicago. It's just a big city that, 10 years ago we were the best kept secret. And I think now a lot of people want to live here, and
Yes.
you can just tell that the housing market is crazy. And so that lets us know we have a good town. Only bad part for us is the traffic's a whole lot worse than it used to be.
I heard that. Now, you played second base. What is life like as a second baseman? As you know, as you're about to take the pivot and you have a runner bearing down on you, like, what goes through your mind when you know you're about to probably make contact with someone a lot bigger?
Well, years ago, back in when I played in the Stone Age, it was I was just watching videos of that the other day about how base runners were allowed to break up double plays. And these guys these days have it easy because you just have to slide in there straight, and you can still slide in there hard, but you have to slide in there straight. So I think it's changed a little bit just because the rules of the game, and they're trying to eliminate some of that contact, is at all bases as far as that goes, as far as the hard slides. And you're a younger man than I am, but you can probably remember some of those days that guys going into second base and legs breaking and fights occurring because of all that. And I think today, I still think guys slide in hard, but I don't think it's near as a concern as it once was. But boy, I can remember when I played, boy, you better throw it and get up in the air because somebody's coming in hot.
Now, when did you know that baseball would be your calling? Like, this is what you meant to do. At what point were you younger? Like, you know what? This is what I'm gonna do. Like, even after I stopped playing.
I knew that from early on. My dad was a longtime coach, and I grew up at the ballpark. We took vacations to, big league cities to go watch. Everybody else is going to the beach, and we're going to Cincinnati to watch the Pete Rose and Johnny Bench and the Cincinnati Reds play. And so I knew from a long time my family was just baseball, all the way. And I was probably a very average player. But I really felt like I understood the game. I understand, all the nuances from top to bottom, and and I had a good feel for it. I don't think that, that probably helped me survive as far as my talent being average. And I think my knowledge and my understanding of the game was probably my biggest selling point. But I just wish, nowadays I wish kids, had more of that. I think now it's we live in the highlight, mentality rather than living in the reality of how the game is really played. And guys that get in here are really, really talented. I tell them all the time that, every player on just about every Division I team is the best player on their high school team, is the best player, because you get to this level and they're all good players. But if all these good players could really have the knowledge and the mental ability to the cerebral ability to process what's happening in the game as quickly as it's going on, I think we'd be in a better shape, because a lot of times that is not the case. Now, that's not for all, but that's just for some, because we live in a showcase baseball world. And unfortunately, all that does is, we get to measure skill set, And sometimes we can go, you know, my wife can go to the game and pick out the best player on the field. That's not a hard thing to do because, you know, we want some of those good players for sure. We want those best players. But if I could get those guys, you know, that really, really had a large understanding of the nuances of the game, I think we'd be in a better shape as we begin to train them and try to, you know, coach them up and develop them.
Do you think there's a disconnect between how you were when you came up as a ball player, as far as like it was practice, you watch film, you practice, there was a different type of passion? Do you think the modern player now has a different sort of passion towards the game?
I think the passion is still there, but I told our team today, these kids have grown up in the game era. All they do is play games from 8 years old to, you know, 18 years old. It's time for games. You know, even baseball season, you know, high school baseball season in Tennessee, it's a short season, and you know, they go right from right at basketball season is still overlapping with baseball season. And then by the time baseball season starts, you know, there's just not a lot of practice and training going on like there once was. I feel like that was one of the biggest things is when I was growing up, man, we practiced Little League baseball practice. My coach was a fireman. We practiced 2 days and we were on his schedule. 2 days of practice, 1 day off. And we did that, you know, we practiced 4 or 5 times a week. And now, you know, I think some of these kids that are, you know, on these high school travel teams, I'd be pressed to say that they probably don't practice 4 times in a summer season because we're playing games. And I think sometimes, you know, that's a catch 22 as well because they're playing all these games and they're using that as practice. And then that's the catch 22 is they just the games don't mean as much because we're just practicing showcasing ourselves and we're not playing the games necessarily. I don't want to say they're not playing the games to win, but you're playing the game most likely in the summertime, a lot of the time as a showcase rather than playing it to win. And then when you get here, wow, we got 56 games. And I mean, it's all on the line every single pitch. And trying to get them back into that mentality has been a struggle because they grow up in the game playing mentality rather than the training. And you know, and we're all about development because unfortunately, and I hope this changes, but unfortunately, we're not going to get the top 50 or top 100 player in the country. The guys that we bring in, we've got to develop. You know, our pitching coach does a great job developing pitching. Our hitting guy does a great job developing hitting. And I feel like when guys get here, we've been blessed that we've got the all of the technology and all of the equipment and all of the facility to be able to train people up. But it's really hard when it's really hard to train up the nuances of the game and what happens with no outs and a runner on second and how important is it to get that guy to third base with less than 2 outs. Well, you're in a showcase mentality, man, I'm gonna hit a double or a homer. It doesn't matter. I hit it to the pool side and make an out at shortstop or second base. The importance of that guy moving might not be near as important as it is when they get to the next level. So I think they live in that era of more games than practices right now.
Now, you're in your 17th season at Lipscomb. Do you get the same first game type excitement as you did the first year, or has it changed over the last 17
Oh,
years?
absolutely. You know, opening day is for all of us in baseball. It's just, you can't wait for that. I tell you. It's exciting. We all are chomping at the bit for that to happen. You know, I will remember, you know, when I came over from Trevecca, you know, baseball is the same game. You know, the mound to the plate's the same distance, the home to first the same distance. But I'll be honest, my first game 17 years ago, 16 years ago, I guess, and it was we played Evansville, and I can remember. Boy, I was tight. I was tight and it was different. I think the one thing that's changed for me is that I'm not tight anymore. I know that we have trained them up and I know that, you know, we're going to play some good teams. We open up with a World Series team at home, first game of the season, first 3-game set with Notre Dame. So, you know, I feel like we've prepared them. You know, back then I wasn't quite sure that we might have been ready. We might not have had enough arsenal to match up with some of these teams. And that's probably one of the reasons why I was more I was more nervous and apprehensive, but I definitely don't go into it that way anymore. But it's still the jitters of opening day and the excitement for that. Man, it's still running through my veins as hot as it did, 30 something years ago when I started this coaching gig.
One of the things that I've seen that you impress upon not just players but yourself, the performing in the classroom. What is it about the classroom that tends to translate from the classroom to the field?
It all transfers. We have this saying, how you do anything is how you do everything. And when you go to, there's no option to go to class. They know they have to go. And by byproduct at Lipscomb University, this great place, we got people all across this campus that want these kids to be successful, not just on the ball field. I mean, we got guys that and professors and our academic people in the athletic department and everybody up and down this hallway wants these kids to excel in academics and the social life and athletics and our spiritual life and all the things that we want them to excel in. And they have all of the resources to do that. And the byproduct of that is we try to recruit guys that are, we call it, everybody wants a five tool player. We're trying to recruit five tool people as well. And I won't go into all of what that means, but when you get a five tool person, my dad told me a long time ago, good people make great teams. And we got good people that obviously can play a little ball, and then that translates to, 3.4, 3.5 team grade point average. That goes to all the things that we want to represent in our ball team off campus. We've had our fair share of trials and troubles going out throughout the year, but trying to get rid of the drama on the team and guys just waking up and being great at the ordinary. And when you do that, hey, everything comes together. We're on this line. I tell them all the time, you're starting down here, and everybody that plays college baseball at Lipscomb University and every other school in the country is going down here. They want to play in the big leagues. So stay on the line. Stay on the line of going to play in the big leagues. And if you're gonna stay up all night, and whether you're just on your phone all night or whether you're out partying and drinking all the beer in Nashville or you're eating bad or just the simple things that you can control, how can you be the best player if you decided I want to win championships and be in the big leagues? Well, that's you can't go off that line because this is what you've decided, and eating, fast food every night and staying up all night is not a component of getting to the big leagues. So you've got to be able to put all that aside to understand you've already made that decision. Decisions don't get made in the moment. The decision was made when you decided I'm going to play Division I baseball and I'm shooting for championships, because now what sometimes the kids don't realize is everybody's as good as you, and you can't just survive being the best player like they always have. Now everything else is just becomes a factor, and using all the resources that we have here, from the academic people to the strength coach to the nutritionist to, all of the technology that we had, everything lines up for you to be a fantastic player, a great student, your walk with Christ, everything that goes on at Lipscomb is set up for you to excel. You just got to grab onto it. And this year, by this year's been one of the best I've had in 30 years with the players really buying into what the university is all about. And not that we haven't before, but collectively through a 37-man roster, we have really, really done that. And I'm anxious to see how that's going to look when we play another team. We still got to perform, but I think we've got all those, intangibles and all of those extracurricular things where we're lining up. And how you do anything is how you do everything. So hopefully that's going to pay off for us.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss how you keep balance and discuss a couple of your players and kind of get a vibe on the team itself. That's after break. You are listening
Absolutely.
to the Ad Drop Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with Ad Drop Podcast. Terrence Biggs, head coach of Lipscomb Baseball, Jeff Forehand, coach. This is a quote I'm going to read to you. This is actually your quote against, I think you played Vandy, and this is what you said when asked about nerves. Tried to keep the same routine that we did and actually did today. I don't think I saw any nerves, anything like that. In this kind of game, the atmosphere and the energy is obviously a little bit higher. I can't say that they weren't in, that wasn't any anxiousness. I'm sure there was, but I really didn't see us go out there and play timid. This is a quote: "You guys, your team played Vanderbilt, one of the best teams in the country, and you managed to keep that sense of balance and vision." How do you impart it upon your team and say, "Hey, it doesn't matter who we play; they put their jersey in the same way as we do, and we go forward."
If we could bottle up, that answer, because I think that answer is an elusive one. Again, you can't say what I try to get them to recognize, whether you're playing a top 10 team in the country as a Vanderbilt or you're playing a bottom 10 team in the country, you have trained and you have prepared, and what we do shouldn't change no matter who you're playing. But I also totally understand when we go play University of Tennessee last year, and we go down there, we playing a Vanderbilt, and this year you can look at our schedule. We've got, 10 or 15 games against what would be top 20 teams. And we're playing World Series team to open. We're playing Auburn for 3 games, who was a World Series team last year. We go to Mississippi State for 3 games against the 2021 national champion. We've got Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Arkansas, Georgia Tech, and Louisville on Tuesday. So the now the times, like, you can't compare, you can't get nervous at those games, just like you can't overlook any of the other games that we normally play. And boy, I can't say that I've got that mastered and our guys have got that mastered, because in our society, we put conditions on everything. And, it's got to be an unconditional way that we go about every game. We may not play our best in every game, but we've got to go about, and one of my assistant coaches says it all the time, if we play good baseball, we'll be in the game and be prepared to win it in the end. Because all college baseball games are probably a 1 or 2 or 3 run deficit. You're in the game. I was watching our basketball team play last night. We're up 9 with under a minute. We make a bad turnover. They come down, hit a three, call timeout. Now all of a sudden, we got to get the ball inbounded, and we're down 6 points when the game's not necessary. They're never over, and that's what I'm trying to instill in our guys, is that no matter, don't even look, like you said at the beginning, don't even look at the jersey. You've got a responsibility every time we go out there to perform the way we've trained. And easier said than done, but the nerves should be out the window. You're prepared. You're prepared physically. You're prepared mentally. We've done everything. Going into the game, there's no game that I feel like we go into unprepared mentally. So that shouldn't make you anxious, but you can't overlook another team because, oh, well, society says we're supposed to beat this team every time. And society says we're supposed to lose to every Power Five team every time. Well, that's what the ticker line going across the bottom of the screen on ESPN would say, that we have a 12% chance to beat Vanderbilt, and we have a 85% chance to beat another mid-major or whoever. But you can't look at that. And that's really a difficult thing to do, to convince the guys that the game on Friday, Saturday, Sunday is just as important as the game is on Tuesday. And as you know, now we get into RPI and all of the things that we're playing into. The first component of RPI is wins, and the second component is your opponent's wins. So you've got to understand that every game is important, and you're playing for something. Just like we alluded to at the beginning of this, is that 56 games, every pitch is vital, and you've got to take it like that if your team is shooting, to play in the postseason.
Now, three of your players I want to discuss quickly are Caleb Ketchup, Hayden Frank, and Mason Lundgren. What have you seen from each that in their evolution as a player that makes you believe that they will have a very good 2023?
Caleb Ketchup is as talented of a player as Lipscomb's had in a long time. The best thing of why he's going to have a fantastic 2023 season is he's matured as a young man. He's growing up, and he has made strides in every category. His approach to the game is it was good even last year, but now his focus on not only just being a good player in himself, he's emerged as one of the leaders on our team and a transfer from Georgia. And he just has come in and was a good player for us last year. This year he's got a chance to be a great player and hopefully, repeat as, defensive player of the year. Stole 30 bags last year. He's got some, he's a little guy, but definitely got some, he's strong and he's got a little pop in the bat. So I think he's really set up for a great season, just considering on how much improvement he's made in, his mentality and his approach to, to everything. Better in the classroom, better teammate, better person, and then emerging as a leader of our team.
Now, last question. You are a native Nashvilleian, and we know what Nashville is known for as far as the hot chicken. Put that for size. Where do Nashvilleians go to eat? What's your favorite place in town that a local will go to eat at? And what do you have?
I mean, I'm an old guy, so I don't get out as much as I used to. But my assistant coach, he got me and my wife set up one night at Hall's Steakhouse. That's a new place in town that's really good. That's the last nice place that I've been. But one of my buddies has had a pizza place for a long time. If you're gonna go to a local dive, you better hit Fletcher's Pizza when you come around Nashville.
What's the best slice they have on the menu?
Oh man, just the way they make their pizza is a little different than everybody else, and it's just you never get full eating it. So probably a bad place to go for a man trying to watch his waistline.
Coach Jeff Orhan of Lipscomb University, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
You got it, my friend. Thank you so much for having me.